Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Thank Again. William Arthur Ward said this, God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one to say thank you? Marcus Aurelius Cicero said, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. Dante Rossetti said this, the worst moment for the atheist is when he is really thankful and has nobody to thank. Henry Ward Beecher said, the unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but the thankful heart will find in every hour some heavenly blessings. And then I'm not sure, couldn't find out who said this, but someone said, there's one thing for which you should be abundantly thankful. Only you and God have all the facts about yourself. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. That's the only one we're going to do in the Old Testament, and then we're going to go to Ephesians and move to the right. I think we'll go to the right from there pretty much. I'm a huge proponent, and a verse in Thessalonians that really impacted my life was, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you say, well, what is God's will for my life? It is in everything to give thanks. But what can happen there is, and that's not a bad thing, it's a tough thing, it's an impossible thing to do without Christ. You can be thankful in everything. It doesn't mean everything that happens to you is good, but you can be thankful. What I'm going to talk to you about today is thanking God specifically for something over and over and over and over, and where that principle comes from and why it is so important to keep being thankful for the same thing a lot of times repeatedly. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel is about to be trapped here in his own consistency. They are trying to nail him. The powers that be were trying to destroy Daniel and get him turned into the king for something. The only thing to catch him on was his spiritual consistency. And it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, in other words, this decree that if anybody bowed for a certain amount of time to anything but this statue, that they would die, when the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So he didn't change anything. And the things that mentioned here is he prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now, this is a great example. He is giving thanks when he knows that with his windows open, he's not hiding. He's saying, you know what? If you're going to come get me, come get me. You know I've done this since early days and I'm not going to change. But he prayed, and part of that prayer was giving thanks over and over and over. Every day it was part of his life. Now, I would almost tell you that there is a correlation, and if you show me a person, a grateful person, I will show you someone who has a completely different life than some bitter, steering wheel gnawing person that's just, you know, going down the road looking for something to run into. But sometimes you meet people who you know they have lived an ungrateful, kind of angry life. And when they get old, it just kind of mushrooms into this cloud of just anger and bitterness and frustration. You don't have to end up that person. Because on the other hand, you meet some old person who got physical problems, aches, pains, arthritis, and they got joy and there's light just beaming out of their eyes. You say, well, they're positive thinkers. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot manufacture, you cannot simulate joy. And you can't have joy unless you learn to be thankful over and over and over again. All right, so let's keep going here. That's Daniel. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I may read you a few more verses to go with this today because it ties in with what I'm saying, but there's also some stuff in here if you'll actually pray for your children, people that you're discipling. It's a great prayer. You say, well, I don't know what to pray. I'm going to show you something to pray. Let's jump in here at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And this is Paul writing to this church at Ephesus. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, because of all that and even what he said before that, therefore I also, this is Paul writing them, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, two things. I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And let me stop here and then I'll keep reading this in a second. Let's just go back up here to this verse 15, part of that. He heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all the saints. And now he says, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you, not in my prayer, but in my prayers. So it's this over and over. Why would Paul thank God for the Ephesians when it says here he's just heard about something that's going on for one thing? And he's so grateful for that, that he keeps in his prayers without ceasing thanking God for the Ephesians. He said, well, God, thank you for the Ephesians. Let's move to something else. Part of your discouragement, part of your getting clobbered and weighted down in the world is that we lose sight of good things that happen to other people and stop thanking God, not just for our own stuff, but for other people's stuff. Let's say a homeless person in our church gets a house, gets off the street, and another homeless person goes, well, that ain't right. That's not fair. What about my house? Why didn't somebody hook me up? And you say, well, you don't have to be homeless to feel that. Something good happens to somebody, and it didn't happen to you. So you hear about that, and you think of them, and instead of going, well, God, where's mine? You go, Father, I thank you so much that somebody got off. Somebody got off the street. Somebody's in a place, got a safe spot. And so you keep remembering that. You think of people in your family. And I could go through the room seat by seat and say, tell me about your daddy, or who's your daddy? You know, start there. Some people don't know who their dad is. But go seat by seat. Tell me about your dad. Go, oh, I had a great dad. Somebody go, you know what? I don't want to talk about it. It's none of your business. Because if you don't find something to thank God for in regard to that person or that situation, you are going to get clobbered by it for the rest of your life and end up angry and bitter and focusing on the good side of the thing instead of just focusing on the bad thing instead of finding something good. All right, let's start back up there in 15 again. Also, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you. It's encouraging to hear about people like this. Now, let me tell you something. You got trouble? Your trouble's going out the window if you just pray for 3 or 4 minutes like that. Because you start thinking about good stuff that's happened to other people. And then you start saying, no, wait a minute. If I've come up with all this stuff to be grateful for day after day, over and over about all these people I know, I'm praying to this God, I'm thanking this God who if he can do it for all of them, maybe he could take care of me too. Maybe I need to quit worrying so much. So this thank again thing, if you just get in this mode and make you a list, and your list, don't just write people down that need something. Write people down that it is a huge encouragement to you to thank God for over and over and over. Now, if you talk to each other and you hear what's going on in people's lives and you share these stories and you see somebody holding their own, and then when they come to your mind, don't just pray for those people. Thank God for those people and for what is going on with them specifically. Because when you get into specific things that you see God doing, that's what causes your heart to overflow. And I think Paul was encouraged because he was going city to city. They didn't hear, well, they're doing good. Well, thank you, Lord, they're doing good. Let's read some more. I'm going to keep reading here. I heard of your faith in Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that came out of the beginning of a prayer that was simply, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, and I thank him every time I pray for you. And this is the rest of what I pray. Philippians chapter 1. Just go the next book over. And this is Paul writing to another town, another bunch of believers in this city, in Philippi. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. It's like he's writing this to everybody. Do you see a pattern in his life? When he thinks of somebody, he thanks God for them. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, I know where you were and I know where you started and I know where you are, and it's amazing. So your fellowship in the gospel from the first day to now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness in how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Just boom, there's what he prays. Every once in a while, I talk to a man about a wife or a wife about a husband. And, you know, I can stand here right now and you say, well, do you feel anything for your wife? No, I'm standing here right now talking to you and I feel nothing for my wife. You say, that doesn't sound good. Feelings come and go. Do I know I love her? Absolutely. But if I stand here and start telling you stuff about my wife that I appreciate and what an amazing woman she is, how real she is, how transparent she is, how persevering she is, I'm starting to feel some things now. You say, well, my feelings went away. I don't love this person anymore. Maybe your appreciation went away. You know, if you want something to appreciate, sometimes appreciating it helps. Yeah. You got stuff at work, equipment, we want to buy something that will appreciate, right? You want something to appreciate, then appreciate it. Now see, if you're like me, I go, well, that ain't happened to me. If she'll go first, I'll do it. Say something to me first, then I'll say something back. And how's that working out for you? You just kind of get it going and things change. You say, but nothing's changing on the other side. Don't worry about the other side. I got enough trouble getting me right. So I say, Lord, I'm not doing a very good job at something because I'm not even appreciating the family I've got around me, the kids, the job, the whatever you got. You say, well, my job sucks. You know what? Let me just suggest something to you. Why don't you try appreciating that job every day and find something to thank God for in that job. And I'm not talking about one time. I'm talking about every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. You say, well, I don't know what to pray for people. Just read it straight out of the book. Turn to that. Say, Lord, I thank you for Al and Annie, their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. There's your prayer. You got anybody to mention in prayer like that? And see, I do know most of the people in this room, and it doesn't take me long to feel something. And you say, well, why do you get so emotional? Because I got a lot to be thankful for. because this isn't some kind of concocted religious gathering. There are rows and seats of people who I've seen, my God, change their lives. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians, same people he's writing to, writes them another letter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you. Brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. These similar things he highlights with them. Your faith grows exceedingly and your love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Faith, love, you get kind of a trend here? How do you not be grateful when you see that going on in somebody's life? So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience. Look what else he's grateful for. Your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. When you make it, when you hang in there, when all hell is breaking loose and everyone around you knows that's going on and they go, man, how's he doing that? There's no way but God. Then when they think of you, they say, Father, I thank you for this person. I'm praying a little relief for him, but I thank you that they're making it because it's encouraging to me. Patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. And this is New Testament, by the way. Somebody messes, you mess with one of God's kids, let me tell you something, stuff happens to those people. Don't mess with God's kids. You say, well, they're getting away with it. No, they're not getting away with anything. You pray God have mercy on them. Yes. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Philemon chapter 1. See if that tricks anybody. There's only one Philemon. Paul again. And I'm reading you all these Paul things to show you this is not a one-time thing. This is his life. Paul thinks about the church at Ephesus. What'd he do? Man, thank you for those people. Philippians, thank you for those people. And by specifically what it was that he thanked for over and every time he prayed, it says. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith. Do you see the things that encourage Paul the most? That's the stuff you look for in people you pray for and thank God for, because that's what's going to encourage you the most. It's that they believe and they're still believing. They have love, they're still loving. That love is even growing. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And by the way, enough already of, oh God, we love you, and then hating the person you're sitting next to. It doesn't work that way. Now that's no reason to be really grateful, because you go, well, something's just not right. Lord, I pray for them that something changes. But when you see the faith and the love in combo, you go, wow, something's up. Because saying I believe in God and I love God, good for you, demonstrate it towards somebody else. Love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sakes I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, and then I'm done. Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, and this one verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually. And the reason I read that verse is because it's the word continually. Now, I'm going to challenge you, not for a week, maybe not even for the rest of the day, but kind of on an hourly test. Just try living for 1 hour sometime today, and when you see something, thank God for it. And when it's appropriate or possible, say it out loud. One of the things that I think is a horrible thing is sometimes the roles in homes where women are supposed to cook and clean and fold clothes. And, you know, I've shared this years ago. If folded underwear shows up in your drawer, I thank you. Every once in a while, I ain't going to kill anybody. Amen. Or walk in there and throw your arms around her and say, you know what, man, I'm not good at this, but wow, thank you so much. You're amazing. I mean, you got to figure out something to cook for us, and we complain when we don't like it, and, you know, thank you. This is so stinking easy. We're just so stupid. I mean, we're just so idiotic. Idiotic. All right, let me read you something. When you think and thank, you avoid the stink that stank in the past, in your life, and in the lives of others. You say, well, when I think of so-and-so, all I think about is a negative. Then let's change that and find some reason to thank God for their life. Is there improvement? Is there growth? Is there love? Is there faith? You say, well, there's none of that. Then pray for something else for them. You know what? Just start by praying something. And when you think you have thanked enough, thank again.
Richard will be back in a moment. But first, he has something very important he wants to share with you.
If your family is like mine, we look forward to getting together around the table at Thanksgiving to say grace before diving into the amazing meal, but we also like to go around the table to say what we're thankful for. So let me take this moment to say to you around the table of our listeners how very thankful I am for you. We love bringing you the program each and every day and pray that it makes a difference in your life. So here's how you can make a huge difference to ours. I'm asking that you would seriously consider sending us a very generous gift to say how thankful you are for this program. I can't tell you how much that would mean to us. Call or connect through our website. Thank you so much.
So send your generous gift by clicking on the contribute link at the top of our website, richardellistalks.com, or call us at 855-6-RICHARD. Thank you so much. Richard's back now with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I do thank you, first of all, about the time that I think my old heart's getting cold and I don't care anymore. All I have to do is thank you for loving me, for loving us enough to send the Lord Jesus, and that he was willing to come, be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, and die on a cross and shed his blood and be buried and raised from the dead for me. Somebody died for me, Lord, and to start feeling again, that's about all I have to do is think about that. Amen. That you came after me, you came after us. You don't just talk about love, you are love, and love does something. Father, I pray that when we think of one another and when we actually pray for one another, that we would not just ask for stuff, but we would thank you for what you've done in people's lives. And in some cases, it's really for mercenary reasons, Lord, because we go away from that time with you encouraged by what you've done in their lives, by the love that they have for others, by the faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the fact that they're growing. Father, help us to do this, not just praying without ceasing, but continually, the fruit of our lips, offering praise, Lord, and thanking you for who you are and what you've done, not just in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. Help us not be jealous, Lord, of the way you bless our friends and our family. And Father, in the midst of all this, there may be people listening today who is just not working, God. They don't know what to do. And part of the reason they showed up here, they're even listening to this, is they're drawn to you in some way and your word and a message. May somebody today just finally get it and say, God, I may get run out by all my friends and family. This may cost me everything, but I cannot do this anymore by myself. And for whatever reason, you have opened my eyes and unstopped my ears and broken my heart. And I'm willing, if it costs me everything, you're worth my everything, because I got jack. I got nothing, God, without you. So I'm trading my nothing in for you. And I admit that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. And I get it for some reason I never had before, that Jesus died for me and that his life was sacrificed so mine wouldn't have to be, and that he got hell so I'd get heaven, and it's all paid for, and all I got to do is show up, and I'm showing up. I accept this gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of my sins, is a free gift. I ask you to come live in me and through me. I'm probably not going to be perfect from this day forward, Lord, but at least I'm not doing it by myself anymore. Change my life, change my family, change my friends, change my world,
and help my life count, make a difference, do something, God. There's got to be more than just accumulating stuff and getting a job and buying a car and a house and whatever else it is that the world says is going to make you happy, Lord. It's not working. Thank you, Lord. And may the fruit of our lips never stop thanking you. And may there come a day, I'm sure it's sooner than later, when we will stand before you and be able to bow and praise and express our gratitude in a new body, in a new heaven, in a new earth, with a language that'll be suitable, because we just don't have the words to say thank you. But we're trying, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.